Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerluxe's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerluxe partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxevip.com.
Welcome to the Sheerluxe Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Lou Half, and Becky Hull. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
What's everybody been watching this week?
I am really late to the party, but I've just finished Fleabag. I'm sure you talked about it loads and loads and loads. Couldn't say anything better. It was so, so brilliant.
It is the best thing on TV currently. If you haven't watched it,
I'm still so behind on Fleabag. I haven't even started the first series, but I'm off next week, so I will do some good.
You can binge it quite quickly because they're only half an hour episodes, which sometimes is amazing, and sometimes you're like, I just want more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really easy to catch up on, and you get completely consumed in it very quickly. So,
Good show.
Definitely watch the two in succession because I think from discussing it in the office earlier, the first one can put people off a little bit and they're like, oh, this isn't for me because it's a bit close to the bone or raw or rude, but stick with it, definitely.
And actually the second season is way less risque than the first. The very first scene is quite famous because even people who haven't seen it know that it starts with her having anal sex, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that can be quite off-putting, but actually season two in particular is much more about love and relationships and connections than that kind of raw sex stuff, so stick with it. What about you guys?
I've been really busy the last few weeks, so to be honest, I've just been watching Line of Duty and Game of Thrones. They're just my two things at the moment, which I'm loving both of them. So enjoying Sunday nights again because I've got my Line of Duty fix, but only for one more week, which is very upsetting.
I really need to get on this bandwagon.
Please,
do you watch it though?
No, I watched the first one ages ago and my boyfriend fell asleep whilst we were watching it and I was like, how annoying, I'm watching something to enjoy this with. But literally I don't think anything has been more hyped up.
Everyone's talking about it.
It's so good.
But I feel like this season in particular people are talking about it way more than it ever has been spoken about before.
I think for long-term fans, finally all the threads of the previous three seasons have actually, you're like, oh, they're all related, so there's a real investment now in this overriding bad guy. Woman, we don't know.
So it is definitely worth starting from the beginning.
Definitely. I've seen on Twitter, because I like to kind of see what everyone said afterwards, and some people have only just started watching it, this series, and they're enjoying it, but the whole thing is always calling back to previous characters and previous deaths and investigations, and people are like, who's Lindsay Denton? Who's like one of the most major characters in the whole thing. And I'm like, honestly, just go on iPlayer and just catch up but and then watch it.
I find that a bit with Game of Thrones. So a few of these shows, I think you really do have to start from the beginning and pay attention, I think is the message.
Or rewatch a previous series, but I didn't mind doing that with Game of Thrones, to be honest. I loved it.
I just wouldn't know where to start.
Be a geek and read the books like I have.
It's got a gloss.
They are. They're not, you know, the most beautifully written thing, but I think, like with this series, it's the story and it's so good that it carries you and it gives you a lot more context and history of the houses. So I would say they're worth a read.
Maybe once it's all finished, I'll need my fix, so I'll go to the books. Well, I'm very happy that The Bold Type is back on Amazon Prime. I've talked about it before. I mean, it's a load of rubbish, but I really love it, and I don't know why. And I sit there thinking, this is crap, but I can't wait for the next episode. It's basically about a group of girls who work for a magazine, and they deal with really pertinent topical issues in quite a different way. So I think, unusually for a streaming service, they drop episodes weekly. So there's only been three of season three so far, but the one I'm just watched is all about a straight male character who is accused of being too pushy, getting a girl into bed, but not not accused in like a severe way, accused in a kind of light enough way that it's eye-opening for him, but without being like, you know, some big rape accusation.
Yeah.
And it's just really interesting the way they deal with that, because they bring a lot of these topics that are really relevant to light, but in a framework that isn't too serious or difficult, but is just quite topical and relevant. So I really like it for that reason. And it's quite sexually explicit, but not in like a trying to be provocative way, in a very like, well, it's 2019, why shouldn't we be way? Yeah. So
right.
Yeah, give it a go. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I talked about it on the podcast before, and quite a few people have messaged me about it saying I would never have found this show, and actually I love it. I've been really into it, so I do recommend
it. I'd like anything that's kind of about magazine craft, even if it's completely fictional.
Yes. So, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah. I do think you need to be in the industry to know that it's a load of rubbish, and that's probably not how it works, but it doesn't matter. Like, you know, you can suspend reality for long enough to enjoy it. The other thing that I just need to give a shout out to is, I feel like reading is not the word you're supposed to use when you've been listening to an audiobook of a book. Anyway, on Audible, I've been listening to one of John Ronson's books, So You've Been Publicly Shamed. For those who don't know, he's a British journalist, and I loved his book, The Psychopath Test, which I also really, really recommend. And he also did an amazing podcast series 2 years ago called The Butterfly Effect, which was all about the porn industry and the effects of it. So he's a really interesting investigative journalist, and this book is old, it's not new. It's quite psychological, so he delves into why we feel shame, how to deal with that, how it can really affect people's lives, and it can be extreme public shaming or just day-to-day embarrassment that we carry around. But basically, you know, everybody has shame to some extent that either is with them from adolescence or from something significant that's happened to them. And he interviews people who've been through the most horrific public shaming. He speaks to Max Mosley, for example, who was caught in, yeah, in like this outrageous Nazi-themed sex scandal. And he talks to people who have inadvertently done things that have been provocative and, you know, had massive repercussions across Twitter and that have resulted in them losing their jobs and losing friendships and, you know, all these really life-altering things. And it just, his way of storytelling is so engaging, and anyone who's interested in kind of how we work will get a lot from it. It's really good. I recommend it highly. One other thing I hope everybody has watched in the last few weeks is the Beyoncé. We use documentary in inverted commas in this office, but is the new Beyoncé Homecoming tour, which dropped on Netflix last week and has been causing a bit of a stir. Pascal wrote a piece about all the big things you can take away from it. But Lou, you weren't really a fan.
No, I feel like saying I didn't like it was like swearing in church. Like, I think Beyoncé is amazing. She's an insane performer. There's no doubt about that. But I was going into it thinking it was going to be more of a documentary about her, about, you know, how she's got to where she is, about the tour. And it was just, I didn't really get there. There were like little tiny nuggets of that. But for me, there wasn't enough. I was like fast forwarding the performances, which were amazing. I don't take that away from her at all. But I just wanted a bit more from it. I didn't really get that.
You're not wrong at all. You're completely right. They shouldn't be billing it as a documentary because it's not. It is the entirety of her Coachella performance. Or it's actually two Coachella performances. Yeah. It's of weekend course, one and weekend two. Spliced together with 2 minute snippets every 20 minutes of behind the scenes footage of the training and the process. And so I agree, it's unsatisfactory if what you were hoping for was a real look into Beyoncé and her life. But actually, if you paid attention and kind of got through it, I feel like you still took away so much from those documentary moments. So the stuff that Pascal put in her piece, but about the amount of work that went into producing that Coachella show.
Yeah.
It was 4 months on vocals and then an additional 4 months on the dancing and the production. God. And I think actually you need to see the performance from beginning to end to understand what an unbelievable piece of theatre they put together and to understand why she's so incredible. That's how I feel about it. Anyway, you guys haven't seen it yet.
I haven't. I've seen bits, but yeah, I don't listen to her music kind of by choice, but I do really like her. I think, yeah, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. Really respect her. I'd definitely be up for watching it because I think the first time I realised how amazing she was on one of those An Audience with Beyoncé nights that were on TV about 3 years ago. And I think it was just one of those Friday night programs that just carried on after the news or something. And yeah, I thought she was incredible. And I hadn't really ever appreciated that before.
I agree with you. I'm not somebody who's like, oh my God, yes, Beyoncé is my queen. Like, I'm not one of these people. But she's just such a role model.
Yeah.
If, I mean, anyone listening who has teenage daughters and wants them to work hard and be aspirational and in any line of work, it just proves that the people who get to the top and the people who are the best are actually the people who work the absolute hardest. Well, for those interested interested, Homecoming, a film by Beyoncé, is available on Netflix now. And actually, the album has been dropped on Spotify, which is really good news because Beyoncé has not been on Spotify for a really long time. Do you remember they launched that title?
Clever bit of marketing there.
Very clever. Someone thought about that. And then, like a week later, the Lemonade album, which was launched on Tidal, like crept into Spotify. Yeah. So there's a bit of tail between legs action going on there. But it's good because Beyoncé for the masses.
Yeah.
Let's talk now about the best bar and ballet classes in London. For toning, strength and increased flexibility, nothing beats a ballet-inspired workout. So, Becky, you wrote a piece on the six best ballet-like classes in London. Do you try these all out?
So I have tried quite a few out. Disco bar is new.
I really recommend it.
It sounds really fun. And it is brand new, like I said, but I think anyone that doesn't take themselves too seriously with bar, because I think the problem with bar is it can be quite intense and it can be super intimidating, whereas this one's my favourite on the list because I think they just put you in really fun poses. It's not super strict. It's basically just letting loose and having fun with bar rather than doing all the right poses and third position, second position. So that's my favourite, and obviously bar core I have done before.
Okay, so let's talk about why bar and ballet style is quite so good for you. Is there a difference between bar and ballet?
Definitely. Ballet's more traditional dance, whereas bar itself, I think, is more about sort of leaning you out, limbering you up. It's more stretching,
strengthening.
Sort of merges Pilates, that kind of vibe. So the two put together are meant to be incredibly good for your limbs and joints, which is why so many famous faces get involved.
And is it a way, can you lose weight doing it, or is it much more about toning up?
No, I think you can definitely lose weight because a lot of the classes also now incorporate sort of weight training, and it's not just sort of plieing at a bar.
Okay.
It gets everything in, like sweat resistance bands, but it's just done in a very sort of measured way that's not, you don't come out and feel like you've just done a HIIT class.
That's,
you
know, quite nice. I mean, a lot of people don't
super
wear
nice,
that.
Yeah. So I think it's a great way to, if you want to tone up and lose weight. It's not going to be instant, obviously, but you would still see results from it.
Yeah, it's more about sort of sculpting your body and like elongating your limbs and like your posture as well. It's really good for that.
Yeah, cool. So, disco bar. £5 for a class.
I know.
That's amazing. Where can you do that?
In Dalston, Hackney. And it is well worth checking out if you just want something fun and lighthearted.
And what about some of the others on this list?
So bar core, obviously, we've got one around the corner, which I absolutely love. And as I was saying, it's kind of a mixture of Pilates, ballet moves. It just brings everything in together to strengthen your core. I mean, it's actually quite hard, bar core.
It's really hard. Yeah, I've done that a few times. I actually did there when you first join. You can do it. It's like a 2-week trial, and it's like a limited classes for however much. And I really, really saw a difference in doing it in those 2 weeks. And there's a lot of like resistance training. So they use resistance bands.
Exactly.
And you really do work every single area of your body. And as you said, it's not sort of like a cardio where you're like dripping with sweat because your heart's racing, but you feel the burn, your legs start to shake, which they always say is like when it's starting to work. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to just tone and sculpt your body, bar is really, really great for that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's what Pippa Middleton did in the run-up to the wedding. Oh, we all know what bum she has. Yes. So there you go.
That is good to know. Heather, have you tried a bar class?
It's never appealed until we just started talking about it now. And now, yeah, I really want to give it a go.
Me too.
I love yoga, so I love the stretching and strengthening you get from doing a yoga or Pilates class. I always assumed that a bar class would be too hardcore because I know some people who've done it and it does sound hard work.
But it's like very little movement. Yeah. So you have to sort of pulse your leg and it's like moving your leg an inch, like a tiny, tiny bit. So yeah, it's definitely worth a go.
Weirdly a bit addictive actually because it's not so sweaty and like hardcore and you don't come out feeling like you're going to have a heart attack. Yeah. It's just kind of, you just feel quite good. You feel quite revitalised.
Kind of like reformer.
Completely. Yeah. And I feel like I've used every muscle in my body that has probably just been laying dormant for a while.
I don't really like doing a workout that doesn't get me really hot and sweaty only because I only have so many hours in the week to work out, so I feel like I really need to feel and see the effect of it if I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, I like to let loose
me
as
too
well,
and like kind of really sweat it out,
pumping music and kind of
and I love that feeling when you know you've had like a heavy night and you're really sweating and you're like, that's that pizza, that's all that booze coming out my system. I really do like that feeling. But having said that, it's quite hard to get that sculpt and shape from those kind of classes.
I think it's about a mix, isn't it, really? It's about sort of using them to tone and then in, getting your sweaty sessions.
And then you
in.
Almost have like a little bit of that yoga, like meditative state as well. So I think it's a good in between.
Yes, definitely.
Also, I find so much doing those hot, sweaty, weighted classes can be really bad for your muscles and your joints and everything. And like, you know, often lifting weights, you're not taught properly how to do them in those classes. And actually, I can sort of feel the effects sometimes of doing too much weighted stuff. So doing something a bit more stretchy.
And it is also the type of thing that if you can't get to a class and you sort of remember a few things, then you can do at home. We did a little video with the founder of Barcore, and it was like a 10-minute workout that you can do at home, which I actually did in front of my TV last weekend. So things like that is really, really good. If you can't get to a class and or you can't train as much as you'd like to, just to sort of tie you over.
Such a good point. That's so on our YouTube channel, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yes, check it out. Okay, let's talk now about London's best rooftop bars and outdoor terraces. We all know that the weather was pretty sweet last weekend. It might not be quite like that this week, but with summer hopefully on the way and as nice as it was last summer, if you dare to dream, then we'll be making the most of those outdoor spaces in London. So I want to know, where do you guys go for a bit of outdoors in the city centre?
I actually really struggle with this. Whenever I try and think of it, I can't really think of anywhere. And I think, okay, that will be cool, but that will be packed. Everyone will be there, and then that won't be fun. And I really struggle, so this list was very helpful.
Heather, queen of the lifestyle, hit us. Where would you recommend then?
I really like what the Rosewood London, that hotel down in Holborn, are doing. It hasn't quite opened now. It's opening at the end of the month, but last year they did an amazing sort of secret garden, and they always partner with a booze brand and have like a range of special cocktails, and it's just in this very quiet, pretty courtyard right in the centre of London. So it does feel like you're kind of away from the crowds, which I think, Lou, that can sometimes be the issue with those kind of outdoor spaces on a nice day. But this year, at the end of May, they're teaming up with Knight Imber, so they'll be doing lots of English sparkling wines, and Callum Franklin, who works at Holborn Dining Room, has created a special menu as well. So I think that'll be a really nice little spot to go to.
And do you think that's something you have to book in advance?
Probably not. I think maybe on a Saturday it could be really busy, but I think that's the kind of space where after work on a Wednesday, for example, you could probably pop
in.
Yeah,
pick your day.
That's the other key.
Monday night?
But yeah, there are loads of more spacious party places, I suppose, that are opening at the moment. So you've got Vinegar Yard that's just opened at London Bridge, which is below the Shard, and that's a big kind of pop-up space for the summer. They've got lots of little shops. They do a vintage market on a Saturday. They've got lots of bars and street food. There's Neverland, obviously, in Fulham, which we've gone to a few times because it's not far from the office, and they've got beer pong and lots of games you can play.
Is that a beach?
Yes.
Fun.
I think they change it slightly each year, but it was Fulham Beach one time, and now it's called Neverland.
There was one in Camden that was like a beach.
Yes, so that's the one on top of the roof at Roundhouse.
Yes.
They're doing that again. Yes. It's called LA Nights, I think, when it's opening later this year. And then Pergola Paddington as well, which is opening up.
It's not really outdoors, though.
Yeah, I think they've got more of an outdoor-y area this time. But yeah, it is kind of covered, so that it's England, isn't it? I suppose they can't risk it. But I know what you mean. I think a lot of these places are probably better for if you've got a party and you want to book an area rather than somewhere you'd just go if it was a couple of you, because they can get really busy.
Yeah.
And not rowdy in a bad way, but if you did want a nice catch up in the sun,
definitely.
You've got to go in the frame of mind.
Or somewhere to sit, even.
Exactly.
Dalloway Terrace actually is always my go-to, because you can book there, and that's nice for like, if there's a few of you going for a drink, you want to kind of be outside, you're kind of away from the hustle and bustle.
Yes.
Very easy for everyone to get to.
They've got a lovely Sri Lanka theme at the moment.
Ooh.
The food, cocktails and the trees.
Good
for the plants are all Sri Lankan theme, which is very on trend.
That's really nice. Well, my equivalent is Chiltern Firehouse. That's such a good terrace, and it just doesn't fill up as much as you would think it would. So actually on the Easter weekend, when it was really lovely weather, they do breakfast till 10:30 on the weekend. So if you just get there at a nice time, I got a table outside at 10 o'clock right in the sun.
And did you have to book?
No, we didn't have to book. No, they were taking walk-ins. It seemed like everybody was walking. I know you can walk in the evenings until 7, I think it is, as well. So you can just go and get a drink there. You might have to queue a bit, but it's hardly like a horrible place to queue.
Yeah.
Or you wait at the bar inside or something. It's so lovely. And it really is a bit of a sun trap when the weather's nice. You feel like having breakfast in LA or something when you sit there. It's so lovely. The other place as well is the Boundary in Shoreditch. It gets busy, but I feel like you can get a spot there if you're sharpening your elbows a bit as well.
Organised.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Becky, any go-tos?
I mean, I absolutely love a rooftop bar. And I'm yet to go to Pergola, so that is on my list, actually. actually. But I love the Queen of Hoxton, and that was on the list. And I used to go there. In fact, pretty much last summer we went as a group quite a lot. I just love it. I know it gets really busy and it does get very rowdy, but if you're kind of in the market for that atmosphere, it's a good place to go, and you don't have to book. It's a bit of a queue system, but it's just fun when you know what you're signing up for. But I would agree about Dalloway. It's always very grammable there as well.
Yes, it is very grammable. Also, another question. Isn't Ham Yard doing something similar to the Hoxton this year? I was looking just before Easter and they do like their open roof.
They do, yeah. They kind of theme it. A lot of these places, they obviously have the terraces year round, and then as soon as summer rolls, they kind of redress it with new plants and maybe add a bit of a theme, and often do end up collaborating with booze brands.
And I think you can actually book there as well.
You can.
Which is a dream. So if you know the weather's going to be nice, give them a call.
Yeah. Another one is Petersham in Covent Garden. They've got their
courtyard.
That courtyard. And then they've also got their sister restaurant as well on the other side of the courtyard, where you can sit outside and it's just such a beautiful
one. That is a good show.
That is a really good one. There are loads now we're starting naming them, aren't there? The John Lewis on Oxford Street also has something on the roof every year. And there's also Selfridges. Is it Alto by San Carlo or something? Yeah. They pop up there.
Yeah, I love that one. They do very good food as well.
Very good apples.
Brilliant all year round.
Yeah. John Lewis's one is festival themed this year.
Fun. Cool. Great. Well, clearly this list is full of great inspiration for this, so do check out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Heather's piece on the site. Well, if you are going to be spending lots of time outdoors this summer, then if you're like me, you're going to need some hay fever supplies. But I feel like when I was growing up, I was in the minority and no one had hay fever. And now I feel like everybody I know suffers.
God, I get hay fever. I mean, touch wood, I haven't had anything yet, but last year was pretty bad for me.
Okay.
I have it quite severely, but you know, to the point where you literally have eyes the size of like golf balls.
Yeah.
Last year felt bad. I don't know if it was a specific thing, but yeah, I suffer. I'm definitely a sufferer.
Heather, Lou?
No.
I don't think so. I think I'm getting there because, yeah, the last couple of years I've kind of had a permanently blocked nose throughout summer, but
I feel like some people say they have it when they have a cold.
Yeah, I don't think I had a cold throughout the whole of last year though.
Because, 3 month cold.
Yeah, I wasn't coughing or anything, but yeah, I didn't have any of the itchy eyes or any of the really awful things like constantly sneezing, but luckily I think I'm in the clear.
They do say that pollution is making so many more of us susceptible to it, so that in the past where pollution levels were better, people just tended to suffer less, whereas now a lot of adults suffer where they hadn't before.
Yeah.
So Becky, I was always the same, like so bad, but last summer I was absolutely fine because of Pyrenees. It's just another opportunity to plug Pyrenees. I'm so happy this time is around again. Pyrenees isn't the nasal spray by Pyriton, and when you put this piece together about all the things that can help hay fever, I was a bit affronted that Pyrenees didn't get its section, to be honest. Because it's honestly changed my life. I don't suffer so badly from eyes. And I think, obviously, a nasal spray isn't going to cure your watery eyes if that is a symptom that you get. But I get a streaming nose and lots of sneezing. And Pyrenees has completely ended that for me. It's just incredible. And I start at the beginning of the season, so I've started doing it most days already. And I don't know what it's doing to me long term. Astra's like, if you use a nasal spray every day, your nose will fall off. So perhaps it's not that good for you long term. But I can't express enough how incredible it is and how much it has changed my life. In the summer, I couldn't sit in a park or sit on a field. Claritin, you know, helped to an extent, but this is miraculous.
And does it make you drowsy?
No. So Pyriton does.
Okay.
Pyrenees does not.
So when you're taking it, do you do it first thing in the morning then? Just two squirts and you're
two
done.
Two little squirts up my nose. And
does it affect your taste buds?
No.
No.
Well, not short term anyway.
When I use something like that, it then
trickles down your
trickles
throat.
Down.
Yeah.
You have to watch that. Sometimes you do taste it afterwards. Like, oh, why? Or you don't do it enough and it like falls straight out of it.
Yeah.
Sexy. So you've got to get your angles right.
Sounds like you know what you're doing
by
now.
Bit of practice. Exactly.
Well, I'm the opposite. It's my eyes and I do sneeze a hell of a lot. And it's like I said to you the other day, I only discovered Claritin last year.
I heard Becky pitching this piece, Asher, and was like, this is a really great new thing for hay fever. It's called Claritin.
And Asher was like, that's not new. I was like, really? But honestly, if you suffer with sort of itchy eyes and just general hay fever symptoms, Claritin is really effective. I find it more effective than Pyroton.
Well, it's Pyroton and Benadryl have got drowsy side effects, and Claritin is one of the only ones that doesn't, so that's why it is really useful.
Yeah, because to be fair, every time I took Pyroton, I would literally be like passing out. Mm. So it is really effective if you really suffer.
I remember taking Pyroton on D of E, like the morning of D of E.
Oh, God.
It was awful. I like dragged myself through the field.
God. I take Pyroton for prickly heat when I'm on holiday, and often like at lunchtime, I can never sleep throughout the day, and I just really feel my eyes going.
Yeah,
and I fall asleep at a lunch table once. Really bad.
Does it help for prickly heat? Because I actually suffer from that
really
badly.
Helps me. Yeah, really
and
helps.
You also found B12,
beta carotene. So those are the two that I now swear by. Take beta carotene, like I don't know, 6 weeks before you go on holiday, and then I just take Pyroton whenever it like comes up, and really helps.
Okay, that's a really good point.
Interesting. Yeah, that is a good point.
Becky, any other tips for combating hay fever this summer?
I spoke to the Lloyds pharmacist for this piece, and they were saying that a lot of people never actually find a treatment that works for them, and most of the time you have to use several different attacks, as it were, to help yourself. But he was saying that just even dabbing like Vaseline or a specific balm around your nose at night will help stop the pollen from attaching or getting any further up. So simple things like taking a really cold shower every time you've been outside, and that mornings and evenings are when it's at its worst, because obviously it rises and then falls. So I mean, it's just hard, but you have to kind of make those simple little hacks into your lifestyle.
And what about more extreme measures? I know you can go to the doctor and get
You can get like your nose cauterized as well.
Oh, wow.
If you go and see your doctor, but it's quite extreme. Mm. And he did say in the piece that you have to kind of be quite sure, because it is quite a process.
Mm.
And also honey, if you take that about 6 months in advance, and as long as it's local, because it has sort of pollen fighting effects, you could be cured. I mean, I'm yet to see the results of that, but some people claim they have.
Because it is all down to it being local, isn't it? Because that defends you against the pollen that is then...
That makes
exactly.
Yeah.
When it's local, it includes different types of pollen that helps you build an immunity.
Interesting.
So,
but we all
why.
Live quite far from the office. I don't know what local means, but...
Yeah. No,
you've got to choose whether you're going to be hay fever filled at home or at work, I think.
So, so true.
The whole thing just sounds very expensive.
Mm,
using several treatments at once and then maybe getting this artist and honey on the go as well. It just sounds
unfortunately
that makes me feel very sad.
Count yourself lucky, Heather.
Yeah, you should.
For now
Speaking of bathroom cabinets, we wrote a piece on electric toothbrushes and whether they really do make a difference. So Becky, do they?
Yes, 100%. I've actually used an electric toothbrush for a long time now, but I still like a manual. There's nothing wrong with them, but it is proven that electric toothbrushes get rid of over, I think, 12% more plaque. It doesn't actually sound like much, but that is a lot day to day, given that you really do need to be ridding that from your mouth.
That's
so I think they're super impressive. They also, what was interesting about this piece was he said a lot of people when they use manual tend to wear down their gums, and that's why you get recession so early. Whereas with an electric, it just controls everything for you. And the good thing about it is you know if you've gone overboard, because the edges go frayed within like weeks, and that's not what should be happening. So if your electric toothbrush looks like that, chill out on the brushing. But it's pretty hard to do. So I think that is the benefits, really. They get rid of more plaque and they just let you control it. You'll never go overboard with brushing, basically.
Interesting. Lou, do you use an electric toothbrush?
Yeah, I am electric toothbrush kind of girl. I find actually it's really helpful with the time, because if I was doing it manually, I could probably just do it for like, I don't know, 15 seconds and be like, oh, I'm off to do the next thing. So I think it's good that I've got like a 2 minute window that you have to brush your teeth for. But when I travel, I do just use manual.
Yeah, me too.
Heather, do you use one?
I do. I'm quite a new convert though. My dentist told me about a year ago that I was an excellent brusher and very thorough, but also I think I'm guilty of the a bit too thorough, and he was worried about my gums because I'm just kind of like going for it. So I've switched to an electric. I've got one of those Foreo Sonic ones, which are sort of rubber instead of bristles. Okay. And yeah, it's really nice to massage your gums with those. Yeah. But again, it's a travel size one, so it's a slightly cheaper one. Mm-hmm. I think if you get a full size one, it's about £150. Yeah, and this one is about £50. But you do have to just keep replacing the batteries because yeah. they do run out quite quickly. Okay. But the price to pay for...
Oh, so you can't charge it?
It's no, just it's just yeah, two little batteries. That's I think the full sized ones come with a charger, but okay. these ones mm-hmm. don't. But it's good because it means you can take it away with you as well. Although yeah. I do like a... I've got a nice Japanese one I got when I went to Japan for my travel stuff. But no, I've noticed a difference again with the timer. And my gums never hurt before, but I think in general, it just feels nicer to brush them that yeah. way with the rubber one rather than yeah. really going for it with the bristles.
Well, I'm the same as you, only recently converted because I had recession from overbrushing. It's fine, but I don't feel like they're clean because for me, cleaning your teeth mm-hmm. is yeah. really scrubbing. And yeah. because you can't really do that with an electric, I never feel like that satisfaction of like, oh yeah, I've given my teeth a really yeah, good yeah. clean.
I do still use a normal toothbrush to brush my tongue. Well, like, yeah, I love brushing well. My tongue. And I feel
do
like you can't,
yeah.
I can't do that.
Oh, you've got to brush your tongue. Yeah.
That's where all the bacteria ooh, yeah. is.
I've yeah. never brushed my tongue.
No, you should. Oh, I brush it every day. You have really? To kind of be careful so you're obviously not going too far
gagging
back.
Yourself.
Just properly go for it sideways because that's where all the bad stuff is.
Yeah. Pre-teeth or post-teeth?
Post. After, yeah. So as I'm doing okay. all the rinsing and stuff, oh, just give it a real...
I do a mouthwash. I'm very partial to a mouthwash.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you think it makes a difference?
Like wisdom teeth pain, all that yeah. sort of thing. It just it gets rid of infection.
And yeah. it's actually the bits that are quite hard to get to.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the back of your mouth. I love a bit of flossing as well.
Oh my God, I love flossing.
I've got really gappy teeth. So actually, those get stuck in there.
So how
gross,
often do you floss?
Every evening.
Mm. Really?
Yeah,
me
yeah.
too.
God, do you remember in the OC when Anna and Summer are in the bathrooms and they're talking about flossing and how important it was? And I was like, shit. I obviously don't floss enough. So it started a craze of doing it then and I just really like drop in and out of flossing. I know I should do more because that is always the thing the dentist tells me that I need to do more of.
Floss.
Pretty Woman is good inspo for that as well. Yeah. Like how she goes to the loo to floss. Yeah. She thinks it's drugs, but it's floss.
Yeah. yeah.
It always makes my gums bleed.
That means they're not healthy, Heather. So
my gums. Also, yeah, if it bleeds, you have to keep cleaning. So you have to keep going.
Yes, that's what I do. When I start, it just hurts. Well, yeah. Especially when you use the mouthwash afterwards.
Yeah. I don't use the string. I use the little sticks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Although they are probably quite bad for the environment because they are plastic and they are disposable.
That is actually super true.
That makes me a bit upset.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're useful, but
floss is plastic as well, though.
I know. There you go. There's a piece for you. Yeah. Sustainable oral hygiene.
Yeah, there you go.
Enjoy. There's a lot of tools for the kitchen out there, but which ones are worth the investment? We asked our favourite London chefs for the essential tools they can't cook without. And there were some real surprises in this mix. Heather, which were your favourites?
I did enjoy some of the crazy ones, like there's a Leatherman at the end that Ivan from Native recommended, which is a sort of all-in-one utility sort of pen knife. But if you look at the picture of it, it looks like a transformer or something. I can't ever imagine when you would need to
use
it.
What does he do with it?
He goes foraging, so a lot of the food at Native is sort of forage. So I imagine it comes in handy for when you're hacking away.
Oh, wow.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, God, it does look like a transformer.
So I enjoyed looking at that. But in terms of inspiration, Masha Rayner from Lena Stores spoke about her mini food chopper, and that's something I've had my eye on for a while because I hate chopping onions. Any other veg I find quite therapeutic, but my eyes are just pathetic, and even the sight of an onion, they kind of start dripping. So I'd quite like, mini food chopper just to quickly chop my onions up for me. The one that she recommended is $9.99 from Aldi.
Oh, great.
So,
and is it one of these ones where you just put a vegetable in and you put
exactly,
the thing down
and it just whizzes it up?
Oh, that's quite satisfying, isn't
it? So yeah, I quite fancy one of those. I also was horrified by one of the other chefs who was recommending a mandolin because I just think they're the scariest things in the world, having watched many different cookery programs.
What does a mandolin actually do?
So it's basically like a grater, but it slices things. So if you want perfectly sliced potatoes or potato
doughnut,
you basically have to grate. It's got a guard on it, but it's a big old blade. So you hear all sorts of horror stories about chefs using them in their early days of chefing and, you know, cutting fingers off and all sorts. So just the sight of one makes me cringe slightly.
Yes, I get that.
But I also like the look. Somebody recommended a Good Grip salad spinner. And again, I'm in the market for an excellent, quick salad spinner.
Hey, what's a salad spinner? Just mix it all together?
No. So you know when you buy a bag of lettuce, salad, whatever, and then you need to wash it?
Yeah.
And you can't just, like, shake it off. Like, you'll then put it on the plate and
so
then
you'll
get so wet.
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
basically put it, it's like a crate, which is then within a bowl, and then it spins the inside crate and then gets all the excess water off, which then goes
sick.
At the end.
Genius.
It's amazing.
My mum had one growing up. It was the cheapest, crappiest thing.
Yeah,
and you'd
so
have
cheap.
To really kind of get yourself going to kind of, for it to do anything. But I think the ones you can get now, you can just kind of press,
you just press
button,
a button
and it spins it so quickly that all the water kind of comes
and
off.
Mine's a handheld.
Oh, really?
It's pretty old school, yeah, but I find it incredibly satisfying.
I have no idea. I thought you had to, like, pat it down.
I hate that when you're cutting up a lettuce and then you're rinsing it. It all ruins the salad dressing.
Yeah, and if you've got, like, chips on your plate and then it makes your chips go soggy, the worst.
So upsetting.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a Good Grips salad spinner. So both of those items are now in my Amazon inbox.
Oh, interesting. Lou?
So my boyfriend is a very keen chef and incredibly into his knives and has actually been known to take our knives when we've been going somewhere to an Airbnb because they aren't sharp enough. So, sharp knives.
There were some nice looking knives.
There were, And does he have a sharpener?
Well, I think actually we might do, but he actually goes somewhere on Oxford Street to get them sharpened.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is hardcore.
There's a sharpening stone in here
there
if you
is.
Want to save
but
a bit
I think
of cash.
It's a real art to it, and he is quite particular about them.
If they're expensive knives as well, they probably don't charge you if you go to the actual shop.
Yeah, exactly. So,
he's so hardcore. That's mad.
Yeah.
How often does he get them sharpened?
Every couple of months. It makes
a
difference.
Yeah. Someone in the office was telling me about having a sharpener and saying that she can't believe the difference it makes to her knives.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, at first I was like, isn't a knife a knife? But then since having them, you really do realise what a difference it makes. Just kind of, if you glide it over like a tomato, it just goes
instead of squishing it and everything
and you shouldn't
coming
have
out.
To apply pressure and things like that.
Does he have different knives for different, so knives for steak and knives for salads and
no, this is just for prep work, so like if he was chopping like an onion versus a potato or
a
some
knife.
Ginger there's like an array. I personally just like the smallest one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, knives is the main thing. We've got a nice blowtorch. I find them key if you're into creme brulees.
What can you use a blowtorch for that isn't a creme brulee?
Yeah, aubergine, miso aubergine to crisp it up a bit, caramelise it a bit.
Nice. I often see chefs putting an aubergine in tongs and doing it on the hob, but that fills me with fear. I would definitely catch my hobbish on fire.
Yeah. I think anything as well, anything that's in those
like
sort of cups, and then you just, really quickly heat it up so that it comes out easily as well. But I haven't got a blowtorch.
Becky, any you swear by?
I mean, we were just discussing the salad spinner, and I too am very partial to a salad spinner.
You
need to get on board with that. Change your life. But I do quite like the idea of a falafel scoop.
Ooh,
that was another thing.
I didn't see that.
I'm very into the idea of a little scoop to create some juicy falafels.
Do you make falafel at home?
Well, I would make falafel at home.
But
I
had the same as an ice cream scoop.
Yeah.
I'd imagine similar.
And I have an ice cream scoop.
Yeah.
These are the delightful duo from Honey and Co, so I imagine they make a lot of falafel.
They said they make a hell of a lot.
It's just like you need a deep fat fryer to make really good falafel.
Really, you do. Baked,
it's not the same.
It does not.
And then also, this is a basic one, but I also use a tea strainer because I hate limescale or anything like that. It's just horrible, and it's a really simple thing, but it does make the difference. But I've noticed Masha Rayner from Head Chef at Lena Stores, she uses it to infuse her pasta with spices.
Ooh.
So, I mean, I'm going to be trying that.
How?
Well, I don't really know, but she said that she can't be without her strainer. It comes in handy when she infuses pasta with spices.
Oh, I see. So she must put the spices
in
it and then put it in the water.
Cool. I'm obsessed with that idea.
I love how chefs are so innovative like that.
I know.
Like, one of my favourite things on this was one of the chefs who said they swear by their hairdryer.
Oh, I liked him.
My God. Was it a man?
It's at Blacklock. So they use their barbecues a lot. And he says it just kind of gets the coals going a bit quicker.
Exactly. He says our grills work on charcoal, so it takes lots of time for the coal to fire up and to reach the crest. perfect temperature, especially when you're cooking hundreds of chops in a short period of time. This is where the hairdryer comes in handy. It blows extra air towards the coals so it can burn quickly and reach the perfect temperature. Love that. When you're writing this kind of piece, this is exactly the answer you want, isn't it?
Sometimes you're there like, can you just give me a few extra bits? Yeah, so when they come back with something like that, you're like,
brilliant. Someone's like, nice, and you're like, boring.
Yeah. No, very important. Also, he swears by a steak weight. Also, not something I'd heard of before. Do you?
So it's just, you know, to you really want to get that nice char on a steak. Yeah. So you just kind of pop it on top and it just gives more contact, I suppose, to the grill.
Learning a lot. Also, I'm so jealous. I don't have any outdoor space, but I'm so jealous of all these people with their amazing barbecues.
I know.
Same. The flat below me, they have a garden and he has a Josper grill. And he uses it throughout every season.
Yeah.
And the smell is incredible. And I would just love to just have bread on the Josper grill.
I'd love a big green egg one day. Yes. Even a small green egg.
Yeah, the mini one would be fine.
Any green egg would be lovely. Smoking and barbecuing.
I love watching like outdoorsy cooking shows. So on Francis Mountman's Top Table, he's a really famous South American chef. And he goes out into Patagonia where he lives and creates like those barbecues in the middle of the forest. And like even Jamie Oliver sometimes will like build it. He's like, here's how you whip up a grill, you know, on the beach. Whatever. Yeah. And just like there's such a flavour that comes from outdoor cooking that you can't get in the kitchen itself, isn't there?
So good. My boyfriend's uncle also lives in Brighton and he has a metal bucket with coal in. And all he'll do is just get some really nice salmon, put a few bits on, wrap it in tin foil and just whack it on top of the coals for like 15 minutes, go swimming, come back and it's just salmon, but it's the nicest salmon
ever. When I hear about people like that, I feel so depressed about my own life. I'm like, well, I need to say his reason, get a piece of salmon.
No, but he doesn't catch the salmon.
No, I know, but like, I just sit and watch Friends instead of going for a swim while I'm waiting.
It's just a metal bucket. It's so simple.
That description was very idyllic.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the dream. Yeah.
That is so nice. Any other great appliances we swear by in the kitchen?
Another really good one that was on here was a microplane grater. It is just a grater, but they come in a different grate depending on which one you go for, and they are really, really good. So I think that's what
Is that
out.
Brand?
Yeah, microplane is the brand.
Microplane, okay. Finally, a bit more food chat. We wrote a piece on all the great things you can do with eggs. I came quite late to eggs. I didn't eat them until I was like early 20s.
Really?
Yeah, I hated them growing up, and Ben slowly but surely got me into them, and now I'm a bit of an egg fiend. So I want to know, what do you guys do with eggs? They're just such a good, simple ingredient, aren't they?
So the first thing I ever learned to cook was French toast, aka eggy bread. Mm. And it's kind of really stuck with me since then. So I think for me, it's a real comfort food, eggs. I don't know, it's just quite a simple, easy, nothing too fancy for me with eggs, but I know you can do everything basically.
Heather?
I really like making ramen at home, and Tim Anderson, who won MasterChef probably about 6 years, maybe longer ago now, he's a massive Japan fan and he's got an excellent cookbook called Japanesey, and in there you can make pickled eggs, like soy pickled eggs, and you can just keep them for ages, and then when you're having your ramen, just get one and slice it up and top your ramen with it.
Are they as gooey as when you go for ramen?
Yeah, I mean, it depends if you've done your job properly and cooked the eggs correctly, but yeah, they're not like runny because they've been pickled for ages, but they're because there's soy sauce in it as well, just kind of infuses, and they've got really, really nice flavour and they last a long time as well.
Yeah, oh, my mouth.
That's making me hungry.
Yeah, so they're really good to kind of have lying around. Yeah. They don't really last long, to be honest. They're meant to be like, oh, you can keep them for 3 months, but they last about a week.
Okay.
But that's good on top of ramen. And my favourite, I just love scrambled egg on some really nice toast.
Me too.
Yeah.
No milk, loads of butter, crack that pepper.
Yeah, no milk.
No milk. Minute.
And so slow.
So slow.
Like, scrambled eggs is one of those things for me where it can either be so amazing or so
completely
wrong.
Disappointing. Quick scrambled eggs on a high heat. Yeah. Dreadful.
When it's powdered. When it's like an omelette. When
And when it's like a bit hard and a bit dry around the rubbery.
That's like dinners, isn't it?
Yeah.
Before
Granger and Co. do this.
I was just thinking about Granger and Co. They are.
It's like in a circle and it's just...
It's a cloud.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's incredible. I know. I once caught Heston doing scrambled eggs on some TV show, and he does his like sous vide almost. So the way you'd melt chocolate, he does them in a glass bowl over heat. That slowly, like an hour to whip them. But that really...
That's
you're going to get cream scrambled eggs that way.
Delicious. I also saw something with Jamie Oliver, and he was doing a fried egg, but he put oil and then I think it was sesame seeds and then fried the egg over the top of it and then like folded it over and it had this like really crispy, seedy base. Yes.
That's in the five ingredients book that we all love. Korean fried eggs, was like, called.
Exactly. And everyone was like, God, what is this? It's just a fried egg. Like, how boring. And then was like,
tried and tested. It's good.
Is it really?
It is.
Cool. I love a fried egg as well. In a sandwich. Fried if you want to like pimp your sandwich.
Yeah.
Just, I like a bit of like turkey. I buy the kosher turkey packet. And then, a bit of melted cheese, which definitely unkoshers it very quickly.
Yeah.
And some tomato ketchup and a fried egg.
So good. Because you don't know when you're going to get to the yolk.
Yeah, exactly. And then it just bursts. Oh, it's the best.
Ultimate hangover for
yes.
me.
Yes. Becky?
Guys, I'm so hungry. Frittata and omelette is probably what I would most use eggs for is anything breakfast-wise. I love poached eggs. Oh, my God. I love poached eggs.
Do you like them runny?
Runny, definitely.
They've got to be runny.
They've got to be that sort of perfect balance.
None of the, like, white gooey bits.
Don't. It makes that's the one thing that makes me gag. My throat's gone strange thinking about it.
When they're too wet.
Yeah, like I don't
that
order
white, gooey that bit.
I don't order shakshuka sometimes in restaurants and other things or baked eggs because I'm worried that the white's going to be translucent and warm.
And a bit jelly-like.
Yeah, that's it.
Moving on.
Sorry about that.
But I am a big egg fan, honestly.
So what do you put in a frittata?
So frittata, anything with ham, cheese, all sort of vegetables. I mean, you can shove anything in frittata.
It's good for leftovers.
It's really good for leftovers and it's really good for easy cooking novices like me. Yeah, big fan.
That's my, if I get home late from work and I can't think what to have for dinner, because eggs is actually like the one thing I always make sure I have in the fridge.
Because
as long as you've got a bit of old cheese and some kind of vegetable, you just need an old tomato and some old cheese and you can make a really nice omelette from that. I like sliced avo.
Also quite partial to egg on pizza.
Like a Florentina with spinach,
that went down badly. I just say it.
Again, I think it's I've had an experience with a runny.
Oh, right, okay.
Also, pizza can be quite soggy in the middle anyway. Yeah, so I don't think the added sogginess.
It wouldn't be my go-to, but partial.
Denied. I do like making a shakshuka. I really do, but that's also I'm in control. I agree with you.
Exactly, at home.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But for me, it's soft-boiled eggs all the way. Toast with two soft-boiled eggs with a shitload of salt is like absolute heaven.
With Marmite on the toast.
Yes. So good with Marmite.
Talking of Chilton Fire House again, actually, they do a breakfast.
The best.
Oh, my God. It's a cheese and Marmite toasty and two soft-boiled eggs, which have truffle in them.
Yeah, there's truffle somewhere. It's one of the...
It's the best breakfast in London, actually.
Off the charts.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Oh, God, I'm hungry now. All right, well, I think that's just about all we have time for this week. If you have any feedback at all, please do email us at podcast@sheerlux.com. We would love to hear your thoughts. Please do also remember to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.